The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms. It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And once again, this week is no exception. Today we're going to talk about conscious men, conscious parenting with special guest Christopher James Hanlon. Hey guys, you ever think about what happened to men? Are we evolving or are we getting softer, more confused, and just afraid to lead? On our latest episode of Guys Guys Radio, I sit down with Christopher James Hanlon. He's a husband, father, and conscious guide. We're going to have a non-BS conversation about masculinity, accountability, and the truth that most guys avoid. We're going to talk about being a good partner, being a good man, and a good parent. We're going to get into why men seem to be sometimes checking out these days, the biggest lies about modern masculinity, what real leadership in relationships looks like, and the hard truth every man needs to hear. No fluff, no excuses, just truth with my special guest on today's Guys Guys Radio, Christopher James Hanlon. And we're going to talk to him today on Guys Guys Radio, and I think you're really going to enjoy our conversation right here.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show, and today we're going to talk about men and conscious parenting. My special guest today is Christopher James Hanlon. He's a husband, father, consciousness guide, speaker. He's helping fathers and those awakening through life, rediscovering clarity and living consciously in the real world. I'll tell you a little bit more about him. Let's be real. There's a lot of confusion today about what it means to be a guy. Some guys are checking out. Some are playing small. Some are hiding behind labels instead of doing the work. But, you know, Chris is right out there and he's stepping into that fire. He's a husband, father, conscious guide for men. I want to have him on the show so we can get into truth, responsibility, modern masculinity, and some of the uncomfortable stuff that today's guys avoid. So welcome to Guys Guys Radio, Christopher James Hanlon.
Thanks, Robert. I really appreciate it. And everything you just said resonates so deeply with me because the journey throughout my life as a male, you've nailed a lot of the things that through clarity and contrast, I've experienced both sides of. And now I'm really excited to step into helping more men and particularly fathers learn about themselves, go within and actually become more conscious in the way that they parent their children to create, you know, ultimately a world that grows and evolves.
Okay, fantastic. So let's start out a little bit about you. You were a successful corporate executive, you're making good money, and then you started to realize that smiling on the outside, maybe not so happy on the inside. What was the tipping point for you that set you off on this consciousness journey? And then that was taken to the next level when you became a parent.
Absolutely, Robert. So it actually goes back far deeper. You know, I grew up in a pretty traditional middle-class Australian family where the message was if you go to school, get a good education, work hard, you're going to find happiness. You know, you're going to be financially stable and you're going to be good. And so I sort of went that path. And then after university through my 20s, I sort of went the path of excess. I was looking for myself, you know, whether that was drugs and partying, whether that was alcohol, whether that was women, you know, I sort of tried it all and then found myself in a really great corporate job in recruitment. You know, people, I love people and I love understanding what makes them tick. And at the age of, as I say, in and around that 28 to 30 mark, I had recently been engaged to a girl and we got married quite quickly. I was making really good money in the corporate world. But on the inside, I was really unhappy. I was isolated. I felt lonely. And I felt, I have everything that society has told me I need as a male to be happy. I had the money, the house, the cars, the wife, the two dogs, And ultimately, there was something missing. And I started seeing a therapist. My relationship was breaking down, and I was trying to keep it all together on the outside, but inside, I felt this deep sense of nearly loss. I was lost in life. And through that journey, Robert, I was suggested to go away to some retreats. And that was the real turning point for me, understanding, I would say, a reuniting with the larger source consciousness that we are. And after a divorce, which was painful, but also extremely transformative, that set me off on this journey of self-discovery, self-inquiry, and ultimately, just excited for the curiosity of life and learning more about that.
I'm a boomer, and I have followed a similar path to yours with the corporate life in New York City and the advertising world. But I have a lot of friends who are boomers, and they're reaching their, towards the end of their corporate careers. But a lot of them, in fact, are still working, and they don't seem to have any regrets or any self reflection or circumspection, as far as I can tell outwardly. They seem like, I've got my new EV and I've got this golf club and here's my boat and we're going to Napa and all of that stuff. What do you, and that sometimes that's difficult to process. What do you make of all that? Because I'm sure you hear that from a lot of your buddies also.
Yeah, it's fascinating for me to see because in the conscious communities I was a part of in Canada, the majority of people were 50 plus. And so I sort of saw this different. I was quite young to be in that community, but a lot of my friends had gone through that and got to that point of awakening. What I believe is that, as we each come here, we each have a different, let's call it soul path, let's call it lessons we're here to learn karmically. And certain people, I feel, will go through this entire lifetime without having that deeper sense of needing to awaken. Whereas I feel that, like, I look at my children, I look at myself, I feel there's these bridge generations. And I feel like probably people like yourself, Robert, you've been at the forefront maybe of this shift in consciousness over the last sort of 20 to 30 years. And we're seeing it become faster and faster. Like, I call it the quickening right now, that consciousness is, it's expressing and it's awakening in a speedier manner than it ever has. But I honestly think that some people, they'll go to their grave or maybe they'll be on their deathbed when they start to ask those bigger questions.
So, would you agree then that everybody's kind of heading to the same place ultimately, but whether it's this lifetime or another lifetime, that maybe they're not going to have that quote unquote awakening during this lifetime, but that's just the way it is. There's nothing necessarily wrong with them, but I think it's better to be on our path because I would rather know the truth than just have the material success. What's your
Absolutely.
perspective?
Yeah, look, absolutely, and I'll bring it back to something personal. I look at my parents, and I can sort of see that there's deeper questions there, but they're so programmed and conditioned in their way of being and their life that I think potentially it's scary to ask some of those bigger questions, growing up in sort of probably dogmatic belief structures and things like that. So I agree with you. I absolutely think that there's nothing wrong with not a so-called awakening in this lifetime. I think it's just all part of your soul's journey. But for those of us that I feel are, I think it's an exciting time, challenging, exciting time to be alive and to really accelerate through these levels of consciousness and ultimately to see a beautiful creation that is coming, coming through us and beyond us.
Okay, so for yourself, was there a tipping point or an inciting incident, if you will, that happened? Because you were doing well, you seem like a very likable guy, and I'm sure you had the world at your feet, and yet you weren't unhappy. Did something happen to say, I've got to relook this? Or was it just an unfoldment process, if you will, that just took place over time? Or did something happen to say, I got to reconsider this?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't feel mine wasn't one of those like spontaneous awakenings. It was, as I mentioned, sort of playing out the belief structure that I'd had. And I really feel that, you know, we sort of go through these phases of life. I feel like the first 7 to 10, maybe 12 years of our life are sort of that conditioning phase where, you know, our environment really starts to shape our beliefs and values, you know. And then I see it as sort of that, you know, interim page 15, maybe through to 35, is I see duality playing out. And I call it the clarity through contrast, you know. So we might go to excess in certain areas of our life to end up finding the balance to go, hey, it's not over there as well. And I never forget my father. I grew up in a religious family, and my dad said to me at 18, he goes, look, Chris, you might leave the church, but you'll find God again one day. And that saying, Robert, has stuck with me because it's so true. You know, I found God within myself without an intermediary. And, you know, that process that you asked about, for me, it was the downfall of my relationship with my wife at the time was probably a big thing. I was struggling to understand why this relationship wasn't working out. And as the fights got more intense and the silence got more intense, and as I said, I chose to go and see someone about it as far as a therapist, that was the slow unfolding. And that took about 10 or 11 months until I ultimately made that decision to leave that relationship and then, you know, sort of sit in limbo. And that's the scary part, I think, for a lot of people, is that a lot of awakening feels like you're in a state of not knowing and a state of limbo.
Yeah, and I think the type of relationships that we share also is important. If you're kind of going off on the circumspection and on this conscious path, and your partner is not necessarily there, and they're kind of like arching an eyebrow, looking at you and wondering what's going on with him, that can put a strain on the relationship. Yet when you find somebody who is more simpatico with the awakening process, it makes things a lot easier. Would you agree with that, Chris?
Absolutely. And, you know, I've seen both sides of the equation. Like, I'm blessed now. My wife and I, Amber, we've been together 12 years. We have three beautiful kids. And when we met, it was like just divine timing. I'm not going to go into the details of the story, but certain things happened that made it very clear to me that we were always meant to meet and meant to, you know, start this path together. But once we did, there was a very honest conversation early in our relationship where she'd said to me, she's like, look, alcohol and partying and drugs had created a lot of mistrust in previous relationships for her. And she said, for this to work, you know we need to move beyond that and start looking at life differently. And I just put my hand up. I'm like, absolutely. Like, I'm so ready. And so she was 30, I was 32. And so to go on this path of self-discovery with another partner, Robert, has been incredible. And one of the keys, though, even when we wrote our vows for our wedding, was we are not responsible for one another's happiness, because no one else can be responsible for your own happiness. So we choose to see ourselves not coming together to complete one another. We're two complete humans, two complete souls that are walking this path of self-discovery together. And because of that, we have what we call support and challenge. We're allowed to call bull on our partner when they're stuck in their patterns, but we're also there to create space and hold them in safety to move through that stuff as well.
Okay. So with your friends, did you notice a change in your friendships with other guys? And did you then, when you go along this conscious path, meet new friends?
Absolutely. So I would say all of my friendships fell away from that period of time. Like, literally, I don't think any of them are in my life today. And that's nothing against those people and nothing against myself. Like, I actually left that very successful corporate job, walked away from a lot of money because I couldn't be in that environment anymore. There was no resonance for me. Whereas at the time, for the 5 years prior, I was the life of the party and the center of that environment, you know? And so as I moved through that and moved into a different direction, certainly those relationships fell away. And then what happened was these deep, deep brotherhood level relationships. You know, these other relationships were built around sort of the activities that we did, you know, the work office we shared, the golf that we played together, the pubs that we drank at, the sports that we watched. And that transformed into meeting people that were learning things like meditation and breath work. And men that were looking at their trauma, looking at their shadow work. And so, you know, for me, Robert, I love a good man hug. Like, I'm a big bear hug sort of guy, because that is a vulnerability for men. And with the males I have in my life now, we share such a bond that they are like brothers, you know, and that's the brotherhood of man that we now step into. And so the relationships I have now with other people and men are so much deeper than any of those surface level relationships I had prior to my awakening.
Okay. My special guest on Guys, Guys Radio, Christopher James Hanlon. We're talking about kind of being a conscious guy and a conscious parent. We'll get into the parenting in a few minutes, but since you were in HR, is that correct?
Recruitment. So yeah, I was a head, more of a headhunter. Yeah.
Okay. So let's cut through the noise and let's talk about guys a little bit, two guys here. So do you think men today are getting weaker or are they just more confused?
Oh, it's a great question. Depends which circle you, I guess you're in, but for the context of your question, I think men are very confused. I don't think we're getting weaker. I just think the messaging and the environment in which men are in has not been empowering. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I just think, like, I'm lucky I have some really great guys around me, you know, that we honor our wives, but we also believe in sort of roles within our relationship. And these go back to things such as I can never breastfeed or nurture my child in the way my wife can. But when my kids are looking for safety, they're going to run to dad, you know. Mm-hmm. So we sort of, I just think a lot of that messaging has been very confusing for young men. And that's part of my mission is I want to empower, especially younger dads, to understand their role in that, you know, that first pregnancy in, you know, raising their kids and ultimately empower them to express themselves as their highest form rather than feeling constrained by societal beliefs right now.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you think is the biggest lie that modern men are being sold right now? Because you've got the manosphere, you've got the kind of the magna dudes, you've got the other side, which is, you know, a little more overly sensitive, maybe. What are the messages that are coming at guys from our, I don't want to just say our media, but just from our culture that may be impacting guys the wrong way because they're not necessarily true?
Yeah, I think some of it is, Robert, that people and men have been taught to define their worth through identity. So this is where you're seeing this outward pouring of, you know, toxic masculinity or whatever you want to call it, right? Because they're trying to be this ultra man in that regard. Mm-hmm. You know, you have shows and, you know, there's a lot of, I'll use some cartoon families on TV that have been on TV a long time, which has painted male men, especially in dads, as buffoons, right? Like the bumbling buffoon.
Right.
So there's a lot of pop culture and there's a lot of, I would say, online culture that purports males in very certain identities. You're either the ultra jock, you know, you're either the, you know, the bumbling idiot. So there's all of these identities that are out there. One thing that I'm personally trying to embody as far as how I'm showing up is just to show up as a regular heartfelt person in authentic communication with people. And so not trying to be an expert in anything other than my own awareness and trying to share that with others. And I feel that's where we're disconnected. People aren't looking within to learn who they are. They're looking externally to find validation around who they believe they should be.
So is that part of how you would define and what has attracted you towards this term of consciousness and conscious living, conscious parenting? What does that mean to you? And what should that mean for our audience?
Yeah, it's a really interesting concept. For me, it's just around the ability to have self-awareness. And so to ask more questions than I think we have answers for. And I'll be honest, up until that 28, 29, I thought I was a pretty intelligent guy. I thought I could logic my way through life. And when all that crumbled through my life experiences, and it was a humbling experience, which I love that life is a humbling experience. Mm-hmm. It brings us all down. And I had a great teacher once said, when life brings you to your knees, it's a really good place to start. And I found that to be true for so many people. And even with what's going on in the world now, Robert, I think a lot of people's awakening comes through pain and discomfort. Transformation often starts there. But to your question directly, I just think, yes, to be conscious in your life is just to ask questions. You know, why do I believe what I believe? And is that actually true for me? You know, is that what I've seen in life? You know, or is there something different happening? And it's nearly like you asked about identity. is I think a lot of men probably feel something quite different inside themselves than the external identities that are available to them. And so that starts that sort of a bit of an internal fight to go, well, you know, who truly am I? So I think that's the opportunity on the planet right now is to go, you know what, I don't know it all. I actually don't know really much about myself. But if I'm willing to sit back and look at my life, I can become more aware of potentially the patterns, and then I can make different choices.
What do you think, Chris, is what's the hard truth that men don't want to hear about how they show up with women? It's easy to point the finger and say, you know, we're misunderstood. We're being me too. We're being accused of toxic masculinity. But what is actually on guys, and what do guys need to do about that to really show up the right way?
Yeah, look, it's tough, Robert, because part of it for me, I never felt safe in my previous marriage. My ex-wife and I, the way we communicated, led to me not feeling safe to express myself to her. Whereas my current wife, she did the complete opposite. And it was the first female in my life that I had that I felt safe. And so safety is probably not a word a lot of men think about, but emotional safety, we've been taught as men that we've got to, you know, suck it up, put on a smile, we've got to, you know, harden up, all of these terms around how we've got to show up. But I feel to be a true authentic male is to actually start to be vulnerable. I think vulnerability is a very, very powerful concept. And being vulnerable enough to be honest with yourself. I think most men lie to themselves about what they're feeling inside because of they don't feel safe to express, you know, truly who they are. And I see it everywhere. I think so many men are stuck in, and I've put my hand up. This is another one that I'm even still working through, that provider-protector identity. And I think that stops a lot of men from actually following things that would give them greater joy and passion because they feel, hey, if I don't work this menial job, if I don't bring in this paycheck, I'm being irresponsible. Whereas I believe for my children, the greatest thing I can show them is to express their highest joy because I think everything else flows from that. And I'm excited to watch my kids do that so that I can see how they want to express.
No, great, great answer. You know, with a lot of guys today, let's put it this way. I've interviewed a lot of women dating coaches, and they talk about, you know, what men need to know about women and what they hear from women. And to a person, they all say that the women say they want a man to be, you know, a guy's guy, a man to be strong, kind, open, emotionally available, and not arrogant, confident, not arrogant. And then they want them to do the traditional things. They want them to take the lead. They want the guy to come up with ideas because it's so easy nowadays because the women have to put on their kind of alpha shoes and hat on when they go to work. And the biggest challenge that I'm told that they're having is how do you dial that down when you get with your guy, because guys are so used to hearing that from the women that they'll just let the women lead. And and then the woman's not happy because the guy's not leading, but sometimes the women aren't letting the guy be the guy. So how do you approach that when that issue comes up, whether it comes up in full clarity or it bubbles up below the surface and you see it there?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, so my wife, she's a very strong woman. Which is great. Like, I love it because we both have our strengths in that regard. But you nailed it. As much as she's a strong person, she often wants to be led in that makes her feel safe. And so I think the biggest key comes down to communication. I know, and, you know, one of the simple books that I recommend to a lot of guys is The Five Love Languages. I think it's an incredible book to start with because I think the way we give and receive love or show love can be very different. And I think that's just such a basic, it's like such a small book and such a basic read as far as understanding what your partner's truly asking for in the moment. And like I realized in previous relationship, acts of service might be something I would do. So I'd try and clean the house or I'd try and do these acts that I thought would appease or would, you know, impress my wife when really what did she want? She wanted quality time, you know, or she wanted, you know, she wanted more affection. So I think communication plays a key role, and that's not always easy. Like some of the communication can be quite hard, and you know that's where you need to be able to create an environment where both of you feel safe, both the husband and wife or boyfriend, girlfriend, to actually say, this is a safe space. There's not going to be any judgment. And I feel as men, where we fall into a bit of a trap is when our partners come to us to discuss, you know, life stuff. We go straight into Mr. Fix-It mode, where I have many times, but I think most men, right? Like, and I think really what I've learned with my wife, I often ask her, I'm like, do you just need to vent or are you looking for solutions in this moment? And that's been really powerful for me, because if she just needs someone to talk to, I'm happy to sit there and hold space, you know, and not go into solution seeking. And then when she's ready, she might come back and ask the direct question, hey, what do you think about this? And then she's open to receive what I have to say.
Oh, that's a great perspective. So tell us a little bit about this organization you created and how you work with guys who are learning how to be better, more conscious parents.
Yeah, thank you. So it goes back to my first daughter when we went through the pregnancy with her. And at the time, I lived in Canada for 10 years. So my wife's Canadian. And during that time, we had midwife-led care. And so I had some amazing supports around us from a female perspective as far as what we were going to go through. And what I noticed during that phase is there was nothing out there for dads, like specifically for men, as to what's the transformation they're going to go through as going from, you know, a single or a partnered male into someone that is a father. And so this is going back 7 years. I created a course called A Dad's Presence, and it was all about that first sort of the pregnancy and then into the first sort of the change a man's going to go through. You know, fast forward from there, I've had another two kids to have three total now, a bit more life experience. And what I've recognized is the Conscious Dad Network is truly just a global community for dads that want to come together to have a safe place to express. You know, there's certain conversations, I believe, Robert, that are better had with another male than with your wife, because it can add strain to the relationship. So sometimes you just want another man that you can really just go and vent to about how you're feeling as a parent. What I find is a lot of dads sort of feel inadequate as parents often. They feel they don't have the tools and the skills. They recognize that their own conditioning leads to, you know, yelling or traumatic reactions rather than being able to work through it in a more conscious manner. So literally right now, the Conscious Dad Network is that. It's a bringing together of men globally that want a place that they can connect with other men who are self-aware enough to go, hey, I might need some support. And what that looks like is, you know, we've got there's a Zoom call once a month, a free Zoom call for people all over the globe to jump on. And down the road, we'll probably be fractalizing that into localized groups where men can connect in person. I know a big lot of my father network is in Canada. Right now I'm back in Australia. So that's the real goal longer term, is to create that localized support network.
Do you find, Chris, that for guys, sometimes they feel like in the co-parenting space that the mother sometimes has more decision-making power than they do? And is that a frustration?
It's an interesting one, because I see it in two directions. I feel, once again, if you get your communication piece nailed with your partner, then you can really learn to effectively make decisions together. But I'll often lean on my wife's intuitive powers as a woman. I feel their intuition is stronger in that mothering sense. That is an innate female capacity. So, like, for instance, when my children are sick and my wife's asking me for some feedback, I will often say, look, as a mother, what do you feel in your gut, in your stomach right now, in your gut, like that, you know, that visceral feeling? Like, because I want her to tap into that knowing that's beyond just the logic that sits at the forefront. Now, I think when I hear the term co-parenting, often what that shows up for me is parents that have separated, people that have split, and so they're looking to parent whilst not being in the same household. And I've seen this quite often, and what I want to empower men with is, if you're in that situation, number one, learn to communicate really respectfully to your ex-spouse, you know, because the way you show up, your child's going to see that. And number two, recognize that it's your journey. Life is your journey. No one else can make you happy. No one else can make you angry. No one else can make you sad. Anything that's showing up with your ex, that's your trigger to deal with. And it's actually a blessing that it's showing up. So to co-parent your opportunity is to work on yourself and make yourself the most empowered male so that your children see that as the role model that they want to look up to, whether it's for a future partner, for a daughter, or whether it's as a son looking at his dad going, I want to be a man.
Okay, my special guest on Guys Guys Radio is Christopher James Hanlon. Let's call him a conscious guide, a conscious guy, a conscious parenting guide. Do you feel that one challenge that guys have, and we kind of touched on this earlier, is, you know, you can't relate sometimes when you're on your path. Sometimes you can't relate to your old friends and you haven't made the new friends yet. And they come to a group like your group. Do they feel more open expressing themselves versus expressing themselves to their friends? I know from my group, you know, we never talked about anything except for sports and funny stuff. And except I remember one friend came to me and said he was getting a divorce, and it was a kind of a short conversation. He never got into how he felt really that much. It was more about the process. What's your sense of, you know, that challenge we have with being able to communicate and maintain our old friendships, yet find an outlet to be able to express how we really feel?
Yeah, that it's so powerful. And I think it's really difficult because your old friends, they always have a version of you in their mind. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to keep that conditioned version of you as their view of you. And so until you step out of that, when you go through a life transformation, like often what you'll see is, you know, if you're going through something difficult, those old friends are more likely to support you in a way that is like, you know, screw her or screw that, or like very mm-hmm. much like, you know, get mm-hmm. in your corner, but it yeah. actually doesn't help. It doesn't help you because it's not helping you move through it or allowing you to express, you know. What I find is when you have even new relationships, I find you can nearly find safety in those newer relationships because there's not all the story and baggage that you have with your old friends. But also it's a resonance thing. People feel resonance in their body. It's not a mental construct. So by coming and maybe just sitting and listening, I find most men, we really struggle to actually, we find it quite hard to be vulnerable in a new environment or with new people. But what I've found through some of the men's groups work that I've done is that it only takes one or two guys to share their experience, and then other guys go, I'm not alone. Oh, I feel that this is safe. This guy has been brave enough to share his experience. And that's what I hope. Like, I hope that I can share my experiences mm-hmm. through things like divorce and through, you know, corporate world, and then finding a much bigger meaning to life that other men might resonate and go, you know what, I studied hard and I got a good job and I got an education, and yeah, it hasn't worked out to find me happiness. And the other big one, Robert, like I felt a lot of guilt and shame when I went through my divorce. Like I just, like in my body, I felt that because I felt, you know, growing up, you know, in the church is that you don't get divorced, you know, marriage is for life, all this sort of stuff. And when I recognized the divorce rate's actually higher than the rate that people stay together, just that fact alone made me not feel as lonely in it, because when you're going through these deep, hard life experiences, you feel very isolated. You feel like no one else can feel your pain. Mm-hmm. But if you're able to step back and go, you know what, actually people everywhere experience similar things, mm-hmm. it just can soften the experience to go, hang on a second, there's got to be a way through it.
Chris, do you find, or how do you find women taking to this? I would think there would be a spectrum where some women think, oh yeah, it's a bunch of guys who they're going to go get naked and run around the forest or something. And then there's others that say, this is great. You know, guys really don't express themselves about quote unquote how they feel or their emotional intelligence or emotional vulnerability. Maybe it's a good thing that they have an outlet and they start to learn how to do this in a way that they can kind of grow. What's been
yeah,
your
I've
experience?
Got a, my experience has been nothing but support, to be honest. And I have like a lot of the people that will engage with my content online about conscious parenting are mothers. And, you know, I feel that that's where I'm open to supporting men from all avenues, because I think inherently most wives and partners, as you said earlier, would like their husbands to feel safe enough to be the leader when they need to be soft enough to communicate in a vulnerable way when they need to be. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, actually it's overwhelming support from most of the women I speak to.
Can I ask you a personal question about how old are your kids and how many boys, how many girls do you have? You have three, right?
Yeah, I do. Thank you. So my eldest daughter, Emma, she's 7 and a half. And then I have two boys. I have Gabriel, he'll be 5 in August, and then Jude, he will be 2 in June. So, yeah, a little spread there for sure.
Well, I can tell you, I have a 12-year-old. He's going to turn 13 in a month, and it changes once they hit about 7th grade. They hit it like a 12, 11, 12. It's like my experience has been completely different person. I guess it's puberty and their hormones, and they go crazy. But I look at photos of my son when he was like 3 or 4, how cute he was, and like now it's like really challenging to get through. Hopefully it's a phase that'll not last till he's 40, but we'll see. It's a day by day process. What do you hear from other men in your group when it comes to parenting about dealing with boys versus girls and different ages? Because it seems
Yeah,
like,
look.
go ahead.
Well, it's a great question because look, I have other men in my life that are mentors that are further down the path, other conscious dads that I really also look to that are, having experiences like yourself, So I would never sit here and say I have all the answers. What I've been blessed with, Robert, is tools too. I've learned a lot of tools over the years to work on myself. And so the way we see it and what I hear from a lot of dads is that parenting of girls and boys is very different, and I see that in my kids. It is chalk and cheese between their interests and the way you need to communicate to them. My daughter, she internalizes things. So she has a lot of perfectionist tendencies, very competitive, and she doesn't take feedback the same as the boys. The boys, a little bit more blasé. They're still a bit younger, but a lot of stuff is water off a duck's back to them.
Sure.
They're just sort of in the moment. But in the same way, like, if my son could tell, like, if he could say F you, he would sometimes when you try and say stuff to him. But really, that's just him being so present that he's like, it's fine. It's not a big deal to him. So, but I think it's a very challenging time now, Robert, with social media for those kids around the puberty and the prepubescent age. I think that's a very, very interesting waters to navigate. I didn't have that growing up myself. As far as those sort of pressures externally, but I see it in my 7.5-year-old daughter. Like her awareness of popular culture and of, I would say, just emotional dynamics is so much more advanced than, any of the girls or myself, going back to that age. And so for me, my wife and I talk about, we think it's very, very important to build our children's self-worth from the inside out. So we don't want to have to manage sort of reactions from issues around social media or bullying at schools or, internalizing of self-worth in a negative way. Our goal, when that sort of stuff does pop up, because it does, we want to really work on our daughter and sons on their own inner sense of worth so that they're not looking for validation externally.
So, what's your perspective on, today's kids versus when you were a kid and when I was a kid, where, we used to just, when I was a kid, it was like, you go out and play. You come home from school, you go out and play, and you come back when it's dinner time. That's it. Maybe you played with a stick in the backyard. Maybe you hit, wiffle balls, whatever. Nowadays, everything is orchestrated, scheduled, planned, play dates, a lot of arrangements, a lot of scheduling. And then of course, you have the devices and you have the social media, et cetera. It seems like there's a lot coming out these kids at a very early age. I'm glad I grew up when I grew up as a generation that grew up analog and now it's digital, because it's wonderful to be able to see the difference and reap the benefits of both. What's your sense from what you've learned from yourself and from other people who participate in your groups in terms of today's kids versus maybe 30 years ago?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting topic. And I, with my own beliefs, I try to stay very balanced and neutral with the topic because, yeah, I had a very similar experience. And growing up in small town rural Australia, we played tons of sport. We rode our bikes. When you were old enough, you got a motorbike. Like we were outside all the time, And when I look at my kids now, I try and find balance in it, a balance between the dance schedules and empowering them to go and explore things. But also trying to maintain a lot of spontaneity because I think spontaneity is such a key and overlooked area of life because we're all scheduled within an inch of our life right now. And so Kids are in the moment, Robert. They don't even know what time it is. And I cringe a bit when my kids are starting to ask a lot about the time and what are we doing tomorrow and this sort of forward thinking. Because I'm like, when you're in pure joy, you're in the moment. And like, I'll be honest, this conversation with you, I have no idea how long I've been talking because I'm in such joy and presence in what we're doing.
Well,
And
thank
our
you.
kids are in, yeah, no, it's excellent. And our kids are in that a lot, you know. And so I think it's important for, like, I'm not a big believer that learning to read and speak five languages by the age of four and learning to play an instrument and all these things at a young age, I'm not 100% sure in my beliefs that it's super beneficial. Like, I think creativity for the first 7 or 8 years and allowing kids to explore reality through that is very important. And I'm not against literacy. Like, my daughter's a great reader. Like, we do these schooling efforts, but I think people that think the earlier their kids know how to do certain tasks is going to set them up, I just think it's a little bit too much pressure, and it's false when kids really, yeah, they're just designed to be there to be present.
Okay, last question, and I'm running at a time, and I want to have enough time so you can tell everybody where they can find you. But what would be your three top bits of advice to the guys out there, whether they're dads or not, about how to live a more conscious life?
Number one, I would say learn to meditate. I would say learn to find space in your reality. Learn to go within. So it's very simple. There's a lot of great techniques out there. So number one would be, yeah, just learn to find space in your life. Number two, I think it's really important to start questioning your beliefs. If you've never gone through this process, I think science is saying that by the age of 35, 95% of all of our life is habitual. And so learning to break that cycle, which meditation does, but then questioning your beliefs after that, it allows you to start looking at what is true for me, truly true for me. And that's something you've got to feel into. It's not just necessarily a logical explanation. And then third of all, I would say feel, if you can find or feel free enough to express your passions and joy, I think that's one of the most powerful things you can do in your own life because everything stems from that. And if you're doing things that light you up, it's going to be noticeable in your relationships. You're going to attract the right partner, or you're going to see the best of the partner you have. You're going to empower your kids to then go out and express their higher selves. And I feel as though if we can all just be the best version of ourselves and in the most joy, the world's a very different place.
All right, fantastic. Christopher James Hanlon from where are you in Australia right now?
I'm in a small country town about 5 hours inland from Sydney, so very rural, small country town.
Okay, well, I'm delighted you could join us today. Please tell everybody out there where they can learn more about you and your groups for conscious parenting.
Absolutely. So probably the easiest place to find me is on Instagram at the moment, and that's the Conscious Australian Dad is my Instagram handle. And in my bio, you'll see a link, and it's just a very simple link to sign up for our monthly calls. They're free Zoom calls. And as I said, there's no pressure in it. You can jump on and just listen. You can jump in the chat section, ask your questions. And so it's a pretty uninvasive way to get connected with the community. And then through that, we've been sort of connecting people more locally based on where they show up in the world. So I'd love to have anybody come along and experience one of those, and feel free to connect me in any of those ways, Robert.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Christopher James Hanlon, for being on Guys Guys Radio. And thank you for being a young, vital guy and doing the work you're doing because we need more guys, guys out there like you to do what you're doing. So thank you.
Yeah, and thank you, Robert. I've appreciated this, and for someone that's been a pioneer of helping men understand how they can authentically live their life, I really appreciate what you're doing as well.
Thanks. You know, we're not so bad, are we?
No, we're pretty good.
The station that makes you feel good. UK House Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, terrific conversation with Christopher James Hanlon. You know, it's the kind of conversations we need more of on Guys Guys Radio, talking about guys, talking about men, talking about relationships, talking about being a good dad. You know, no fluff, no excuses, just truth. That's what we want to do here on Guys Guys Radio. You know, you've got to do the work. I think that's the biggest takeaway from our conversation with Chris. You've got to wake up at a certain point, look inside and say, am I happy? Is what I'm doing bringing me joy? Can I do more? Can I be better? Can I be a better man? Can I be a better partner? Can I be a better dad? And I think Chris has learned through his journey that there's a lot of things that you can do along the way. Let's just mention a few things that I think that you could do that could help you out in being the best man you could be, the best partner, and the best dad. One is pay attention. Pay attention to yourself. Be present. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Pay attention to your partner. Incredibly important, because they notice. Your partner will notice everything. The other thing is, and Chris had mentioned this, kind of look inside and meditate. If you can find a time to be still and to let information come to you, because when you're still, that's when the answers appear. When you have all that kind of chatter in your head and your mind, it's really tough to do anything beyond react. And I think you want to get to a point where you're responding and anticipating instead of just reacting to the world around you. And the third thing is just stay active, stay open. Don't feel that you have to know everything and be right all the time. Be willing to listen, be willing to shift your perspective, and be willing to share your knowledge with those who ask for it. So Guys Radio, great conversation about being real and being a man and a better man with our special guest today, Christopher James Hanlon, right here on Guys Radio. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.